Hey, this is Mark, and I'm back with another episode of Finding Your Summit. And this week we have Betsy Pake, and she hails from just outside Atlanta, Georgia. And what Betsy is she is a happiness coach, and her motto is all about inspiring people to have a big life. And this is coming from a girl who had what she thought was the perfect life growing up, just an amazing mother, father, very traditional. And one of the things that she saw from her mother was she always said that she was going to go overseas and go to the Great Wall in China and do all these amazing things. But she was so committed to the family that she never did those things. And then when Betsy was 16, her mom tragically died in a car accident and, of course, never got to do the things that she had wanted to do, her vision board in life. And so what Betsy has done over the many years since, had a sales career, very successful, and just, you know, hit a roadblock like a lot of people and just decided one day, you know, there's got to be something bigger and better for me out there. And so from that point on, she really decided to become this life coach, really happiness coach, to serve other people and trying to help them get unstuck and well on their way onto what they should be doing, their true purpose in life. So Betsy Pake, she's awesome. And as always, rate, review. And it's making a difference, folks. Thank you so much. Here we go. Hey, this is Mark back with another epic episode of Finding Your Summit. And this week we have a young lady named Betsy Pake. And I am broadcasting as usual from my World HQ in Hermosa Beach, California. Although I hail from Seattle, Washington, and we are beaming all the way across the US of A to somewhere just outside of Atlanta, although she won't tell me exactly where that is, but somewhere on the East Coast. Betsy, how you doing?
Hey, thanks so much for having me on the show.
Oh, no, this is great. And I want to set this up on the kind of the front end, which will lead to the back end of this whole thing. But this is what I love about you and your mission in life is that you are there to inspire people to have a big life. And you are a certified happiness coach. It's awesome.
Do you like that?
I love that.
My husband always says, that can't be a real thing. And I'm like, no, it's a thing.
Well, look, we all go through life and we all have to overcome a lot of different things. And a lot of times those things, you know, drive us in a spiral downward. And it's a lot of times it's hard to find that joy, that happiness, that contentment, you know, to go towards the light, to figure it out and really have that contentment about where you're trying to go in life. And like, and a lot of the questions are like, how do I get there? Right?
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's a really big thing. People have things that happen to them and they get caught in that. Like, how do I even move forward? And I think that's really the key because we always have things we're going to be overcoming that we have to move forward. Right?
Yeah. Well, as we talked about a little bit before we jumped on, I've had my share and, you know, sometimes, well, it's actually interesting because I have had my share. And at the same time, I've been so blessed to start these podcasts. And I'm interacting with people who I'm looking at their situation. You know, Kyle Menard, you know, is a guy who has got no arms and no legs and he crawled up Aconcagua in Argentina, 23,000 feet, right?
Yeah. You know, he introduced me to my husband.
He did?
Yes.
How did that happen?
I started CrossFit back like end of 2008, beginning of 2009. And he had opened a CrossFit gym. He lived in this area.
Sure.
And my husband went there and he and I became friends. And yeah. And so he introduced me to my husband and they said, you should date him. He's your age. That was the qualifier.
Well, I mean, again, that's, you know, serendipitous maybe. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, you never know when things, but you know, my whole point was just all about, you know, Kyle is a special spirit, special soul. And sometimes when I look at my checkbox of things that have gone, you know, in a negative way for me, you don't have to look too far outside your window to say, well, at least I have arms and legs or whatever the case is, right? I have a home, I have family, I have things like that. So let's go back to kind of the beginning and we're going to ultimately weave into this whole thing of how you became a happiness coach, number one. And number two, I know that you had a few bumps along the way as well that, you know, it's so important that maybe those were lessons that you learned in life that helped you get to where you are today. So let's talk about Vermont, right? This is the place that you grew up.
Yeah, I grew up in Vermont, which is a beautiful place to live. I often say, you know, we think of the Norman Rockwell paintings, and in so many ways, that's really a lot of how I kind of view my childhood. I had a awesome childhood, tons of stuff outside. My mom was super involved in our lives and was the kind of mom, you know, that all the friends loved. She brought us to all the concerts, you know, that kind of high-spirited mom that everybody digs, right?
Wants everybody around, right?
Yes. It was, our house was the fun party house, you know, where all my friends came over and knew they could hang out. And my dad worked at the university. You know, it was all very great. It was all super. And
very, very, was this very traditional?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. You know, mm-hmm. She made breakfast every morning, the whole deal. And she always, I remember being like 9 or 10, and she would always say, I'm going to go, someday I'm going to see the pyramids, or and someday I'm going to see that Great Wall of China, and someday I'm going to go to the top of that mountain. You know, she would say these things. And I remember that being like 9 or 10 years old and saying to her, like, when are you going? Because as a kid, we think that's going to happen like in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And I remember she said to me, oh, right now we decided that I'm going to be a mommy first, and then I'll do those things later. And I remember that day, and I remember, you know, going about my life. And then when I was in high school, she was on her way to a hockey game with my sister. My sister went to the University of Vermont, and they were on their way to a hockey game and left Vermont. They were in New York. Got in a car accident, and my mom died, and never got to do those things that I heard her talk about and say, you know, my whole life.
Was your sister okay?
She was injured. I mean, she had broken her jaw, you know, she lost all her teeth, you know, that whole thing. But amazingly, she survived. And so I feel and always felt really grateful for that, that I had her to go through that with, you know. So like immediately when that happened, I found that. Almost like immediately finding the silver lining, right? Is that I had my sister to go through this with.
But what was that like for you though? Because you're, you know, again, you were the, sounded like you were the central hub, right?
Yes.
Of happiness, and everybody would want to come over in the social scene and Halloweens and parties and hey, come over. You know, she was that mom.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And now you're 16 years old. You're probably maybe a sophomore, junior in high school. Right?
Yeah, junior in high school. Yep.
Junior in high school, and now your world is shattered.
Yeah, everything is different, right? So every little thing that happens is different. Nothing seems the same. And as I go through my day and I go to school, I realize that my friends have no idea what is happening in my head, right? So they don't have any, they're trying to be kind to me. But all of the sudden, I see the world totally different than everybody I know.
So there's two parts of that before we go on.
Yeah.
Right. I think it's in your head because those are thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in your heart because that's how you're feeling. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how are the, because sometimes those things don't always work in harmony.
Right. Sure. Yeah.
Right. So what was that like for you? So what were you thinking? You just said your whole world, the way that you viewed it, you know, changed. How
yeah.
was that?
So I think a couple different things were happening. One is for me, I've always been, I've got to move forward. I've got to move forward. And so when I look back on that now, I went back to school like immediately. Like I went back to school the morning before the funeral, you know, like, so I always had this, I have to keep going. I have to keep going. And that's probably just who I am. But I think that it started to shift how I saw everything, which at the time felt very foreign and very alone. So I was dealing with this loss in my life, as well as an entire change in the dynamic in my family.
Yeah.
Then I had a change with my friendships because I was in a different place than any of them. And I'm realizing that how I see the whole world is different. And really that carried through, you know, I went to college and I did the things like we're supposed to do, but my view was different.
So tell me about, I understand when you say it was different.
Yeah.
Right? So my curious mind is saying what was different? Like,
yeah.
Like how is it? So go to that next
You
know, level down.
So many of my friends at that age knew, like, you know, that maybe they had grandparents that had died. And so they knew things could change. But I knew on a much deeper level that anything could happen at any moment. And in some ways it was awful because it made me kind of nervous and desperate, and also
and miss your mom.
And miss my mom.
Yeah.
And desperately afraid to need anybody, because if I need somebody, that could happen again. So there's this whole fear thing in there. But then also it gave me this, oh my God, it can happen at any moment. Am I happy right now? Because I might be gone in 10 minutes. Am I happy? And so that almost scratching towards, I have to live. Like, I have to make this moment count, because anything can happen.
And yeah, so, that was your survival.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And so it was like this juxtaposition, really, of really greatness, because it made me want to live and inspired to do more and to be and really live at my full potential. But then also this awful sadness and a wall that I built up, that I could, you know, now look back on my life and see that wall prevented me from my greatness over and over again. So it was like two things clashing, and it wasn't, you know, it took me 25 years before I could rectify that and see how it could benefit me and I could really live the life I wanted.
Wow. That's powerful. I'm in my mid 50s, and it took me till I was like 50 to figure out a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
I look back and like, what a blockhead. But a lot of those things too, you know, some of the things that served me well, you know, back in the day, I think was this whole fight or flight, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'd never given up ever, ever, ever. And what I learned later in life is that while that served me extremely well in many circumstances, you know, trying to make an NFL team, play at the major league, you know, college football level, mm-hmm. And successfully doing it, it also became a detriment to me, right?
Of yeah.
Also never giving up. So, because sometimes you have to let things go. Mm-hmm. This whole bless and release that another gal that I spoke with, Kathy Eldon, talked about, right? And that's really being able to like put those things aside and coming to terms with kind of certain circumstances that you find yourself in. So, okay, how many years then after? So you talked about it was 25 years before you really came to peace on a lot of this stuff. But
yeah.
What happened kind of like, so now you graduate from high school, and what goes on from there?
Yeah. Yeah. So I went to college, which really looking back, I went to college because that's what we're supposed to do. Right.
Yeah.
So like my dad worked at the university, like I was supposed to do that. But I don't know that I even really had a handle on my life in the way that I knew what I was really working towards. And so I went to college, and after about 3 years,
where was this, by the way?
In Vermont.
University of Vermont?
Okay. I actually went to Castleton University.
Okay.
Yep. Which is like in the southern part of the state, right? So my dad worked at the university, so I could go free. So
yeah.
I was smart in that way. But after about 3 years, I took a year off, and I think people thought she'll never go back, right? Like, cause I just felt like I couldn't get my feet under me. Like, I didn't know what I was doing or why I was doing it. Like, why? I think that was the reoccurring thing. Like, why am I doing this? Cause I'm supposed to? It made no sense. And so, you know, I took a year off and I worked at the Dairy Queen. I was the Dairy Queen. I made the best of that.
Yeah. It's right? Like the, right? Yeah. The triple scoop. Yeah.
Yeah,
the whole thing out of the machines.
It was amazing, right? I would say I'm the Dairy Queen, right? So,
yeah.
I made the best of that, but I found joy. That is really when I started to find joy, because I realized that I could be working at the mall at the Dairy Queen and find happiness. And if I could do that, then I knew there was something more for me, and I could bring that somewhere else. I could do more with that. And that's when I decided to go back. I went back to school and finished, got my degree in psychology, and just knew that in some way I was going to use this awfulness. And I still didn't know how, but I was going to use that awfulness to help someone else. I didn't know how it was going to manifest itself or what it was going to do. And it really took me a long time to figure that out. But that was really my mission, and that's when I knew I could do it at the Dairy Queen.
Yeah, the Dairy Queen was the turning point for you. So, okay, so you go back to school, to the university, and now you graduate, and then what goes on from there? Do you go into – you didn't go back to the Dairy Queen, I assume.
No, I didn't.
Right?
I left Vermont, so I packed up my car and left, and I you know, looking back, like I think in my 21-year-old self, I thought I was going to be able to drive to the Bahamas, but I drove to North Carolina, and that's really like where I ran out of money. I loaded up my Dodge Colt with all of the stuff that I could fit in it, and I just thought I'm going to start over. And I got to North Carolina, and I worked for a little while at a bar and really just tried to figure out where my place was. And that's when I started working at a group home. So I worked with kids that were disadvantaged. And that's really where my career started, where I was able to use some of that awfulness and connect with kids who had had it worse, right? So it was that moment where I found, oh my gosh, there's people that have it way worse. My mom might have died, but I had an amazing 16 years. These kids haven't had anything.
Yeah.
Like,
well, that's that whole, you know, that one of the things that so many people, humans, you know, that we need is contribution. And when you have contribution, right, of going and helping, you know, charity kids, other people, and not putting yourself as just the number one selfish being on the planet, you know, you find so much more joy and happiness, you know, from helping others.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think the growth and contribution, right? So if you can continue to be growing and learning and have contribution is really the intersection where joy happens.
Yeah. You know, I love that. And you know, I was growing. I was after I got done playing in the NFL, I went on and I started some companies and I got married and had kids. And even though I don't think I was doing a good enough job. Well, I know I wasn't in terms of my growth, right? Mm. In terms of things where I needed to go. And, you know, I've come full circle on that over the years and, you know, listened to audiobooks and now I've become into this podcast world, but everything is all about learning and growth, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And there's just so much knowledge that other people can impart on you to help you get to or see the world a little bit differently, right?
Right.
And it's so much more rewarding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Think?
Yeah. And when you see that, gosh, what I went through, actually my perspective can help somebody, right? So then you feel like it gives you some sort of purpose. Like there was some sort of reason why I've gone through this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as I look back, I see all of those things, how they kind of culminated together to get me to a place where I knew there was value in what I'd been through, but I still didn't know how it was going to be used, right?
So what was the bridge point, right? Connecting. So you're starting your career, you're helping people in this home, you're helping kids. And so there's this gap, right? Between, you know, you need to get experience, you need to grow, you need to learn. And that doesn't happen of, you know, taking a one course, right? At the university.
Yeah.
So what was that journey like for you?
Yeah. So, you know, a whole series of events happened in my life. I got married. I moved to Washington, D.C. I got divorced. I got married again. And you see this pattern of like, I'm desperate to be close to somebody, but I'm also desperate to need anybody. So if something would go wrong, I would go, okay, and we're done. We're going to make it. This is going to be simple and easy. And we're just going to part ways. Right.
Hmm.
And so it really wasn't until I had my daughter. So I got married the second time and I had my daughter, and that's really, and I was 30, almost 31 when I had her. And that's really when I went, wait a second, like maybe life isn't really just about churning through stuff. You know, maybe life really isn't about just like trying to figure this out. Maybe life is really about paying attention to what I've got. And unfortunately, I got divorced when she was little. And so that, I believe, that is the point when my story of real growth to a point where I am right now began.
So I understand you've been divorced twice, or you had your child, your daughter, with your first husband?
I've been divorced twice. So
okay, I got it.
I've made it really clear to this third husband that, you know, I'm just going to have to kill him if something happens, because I'm not going to be a third time loser, you know, but, but so much growth and learning since that point, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, first of all, you're not you know, no matter what you do, you're never a loser. I know you're just saying that in a joking way, but certainly you're not that. And life's just a big journey. You know, you're like on the yellow brick road.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's these twists and turns and all these things and things that, you know, know, if we all had foresight 2020, you know, you never would have got into marriage number one or marriage number two. And a lot of that maybe had to come to the intersection of where you were in a healthier spot of all the growth that you've been through, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, between as a parent, because I have two beautiful daughters, 19 and 21 now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they just teach you so much about unselfishness,
yeah,
right? And mm-hmm. about grace and about the little things. And when you're sweating the bigger things and they're like, you want to, you know, play a house or something, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, those are wonderful moments. So you are, it sounds like you, like that intersection happened for you with the husband that you're with today, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was single for 7 years before I married the husband I have today. I think mm-hmm. I got to a place where I could be in a relationship and I could rely on somebody. I could depend on somebody without a panicked fear that something would happen and they would go away. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that having my daughter, you know, anytime we have a child, right, it changes the way we see things. But it also made me go like, I can't be this tornado. Like, I can't be a tornado. I refer to it as an upper limit problem. I would get to a point where I would have an incredible career. You know, when I left working at that group home, I got into sales and I had an amazing career in sales for 20 years. An upper limit problem. Like if I would be doing amazing and making amazing money and really feeling good about it, I would have to make something else wrong, right? I would have to get divorced. I would have to move. I would have to go to a different state. Like I would have to start over because
it's a lot of drama.
It's a lot, right? Right?
Yeah.
And it's because I knew how to deal with drama. I didn't know how to deal with consistency.
Yeah. Success too, right?
And success.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't until I was alone and I had my daughter and I thought, I can't be a whirlwind anymore. I can't be constantly. I mean, in the middle of all of that, I did amazing things. You know, I ran marathons. I other athletic adventures. You know, I did all this stuff, but it wasn't until I thought, I can't continue the churn. I have to ground. Now, how do I ground? How do I get back to the Betsy that feels safe? And that I think is the journey, like, of my life and what I try to share with other people now.
Well, you said something that was interesting to me, and you called yourself a tornado.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm unfortunately divorced, and my now ex used to call me a tornado.
Yeah.
Right. And there's just so many things that, you know, I was ran my own business and I was the coach and I was this and that. And I just didn't know any other way. And for me, what helped bring serenity and peace into my life. And I think, you know, she was probably right. You know, I look back on that.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I turn to the mountains. Everybody turns to something, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's healthy, sometimes it's not. And in my case, it was the mountains. And the mountains is where I really found my serenity and peace and really understood that there's a better way, right? And things can really slow down and be much more present in the way that you take on life and the way that you are, you know, with others and the way you want your life to be, mm-hmm. you know, to go, right? So like you said, it's not a blur.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, it's just not a life filled of drama and just, you know, constant things and change and crazy stuff. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think, you know, it's been, well, at least I feel very blessed from the standpoint of these other wonderful gifts have come out of it. I never thought when I was going through this whole thing 5-6 years ago that I'd one day be doing a pocket.
Right.
That was not the plan, you know, Mark finding your summit, this whole thing. It was just like, I need to get in the mountains. I need to go start climbing these big boys around the world and we'll see what happens, right? Let's see how far I get. And so through clarity, great opportunity can now mm-hmm. come into your life because you're open to receive it, right?
Right. Yeah. And I think that, you know, from the outside looking in, I think everybody thought I had it all together, right? So looking back, I realized I was a tornado constantly seeking change because that's what I knew how to deal with. But from the outside, people looking in thought like, Betsy's got it all figured out. Like it seemed really, I often wonder why that is, but I think just I looked like I must have had it all together. But you know, that really wasn't the case. But, you know, as I moved forward, as I got grounded, as I recognized what was important, now I see the value in the contrast. So now when something happens that's not the way I want, I see the value in it because it helps me clarify what I do want. And so things, failure or things going wrong or, you know, a bad day, whatever it is actually this incredible gift because it clarifies what I do want. And the more clear we can become, that's how we can really move towards something.
Love that.
I was moving through my life, like not knowing where I was going, but I was going there fast.
<laughs> You know? <laughs> Yeah. So a lot of the people that I have on the show, just places I've been, you know, some are famous, some aren't. And a lot of times when, and I'll just use my own example right now, but sometimes not all people, but some people can look at Mark as the shiny object because of these things I've done, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think anybody who's listening to this pod, you know, just because it might appear like you've got some things under your belt doesn't necessarily mean that you've got it all together. And that's exactly what you just said, right?
Yeah.
You were that shiny object. Everybody thought, you know, you're doing this and you're doing that and going crazy, but your internal struggle was really the thing that was holding you back towards finding your greatness. Right.
Yeah. And I think when you can recognize that, when you can say, like, when you can slow down enough, I think people are just moving so fast towards nothing. But when you can slow down enough to say, wait a minute, where am I going? That's when greatness starts to find you. Now, you know, like I said, my daughter is the one that grounded me and brought me to this. When she was about 11, she came to me and said, you know, she had been having anxiety. And that's really, I had built this incredible career in sales at this point. And she came to me and said, like, I need you. And that's really when everything went, you know, like I've been spinning, I've been traveling for my job, I've been, you know, having fun, like all of these things and had created a great life for her and I. But I realized that when she needed me, that's when all of a sudden the tables turned, right? And that kind of elevator changed direction where I went, wait a second. I've been running towards something I don't know what it is. And what I really want is amazing relationships in my life like I used to have, right? Mm-hmm. I want that relationship with my daughter like I had with my mother.
How old is your daughter now?
She's almost 16, about to turn 16.
Okay.
So at that moment, I had a job where I'm sure I made more money than most people other than maybe NFL players, you know, but I had built a really great career in sales and I was single, you know, so I was just taking care of her. We had like awesome opportunities and could travel and do things and owned our own home and all of those things. But when she said that to me, I saw it in her eyes, like you can't keep going. And I put my finger up and I said, hang on 1 minute. And I locked eyes and I called my boss and I quit my job.
Wow.
And she knew right then nothing would come before what she needed.
That's called commitment and conviction.
And panic.
And panic. Well, listen, you know, it's sometimes you need to leap, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And go. And that's what you did. So great story, by the way. Tell me what you're doing today. And then what I want you to also understand is how you got there, like how this life coach, this happiness, what you do and help out others, you know, so give me a kind of a little background on that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll give you the rundown really from that moment.
Yeah.
I have always been involved in fitness, right? So that was sort of my outlet, you know, I'd always loved that. And, you know, like I said, at the beginning of the show, I met Kyle Maynard because I went to his CrossFit gym.
Yeah.
And when I worked in sales at that job, I started a little side business doing boot camps in the park. And I hired people and I did the classes when I was in town and, you know, kind of had built this little business. And so when I told her that I was going to quit my job, I thought I got to take this business to a different level.
Yep.
And so I moved it inside away from the park and I moved it inside and opened a CrossFit gym.
In Atlanta?
Outside Atlanta. Yep. Yep.
Okay.
And, you know, looking back at the time, all my friends said, you should do that. Like you should open a gym. Like that made sense.
Yeah.
But I had not thought through what's my vision for my life? Like, how do I really want to live my life? Like, what do I really want my days to be like? Where do I want to live? Like, who do I want to surround myself with? Like all of those things. I was just like, we all do from time to time. I was going like, that makes sense. I'll open a CrossFit gym and I had the means to do it. And so that's what I did. And I owned that gym for several years. And one morning I woke up and it was a Saturday morning and it was dark out still. My whole family was asleep and I usually would go in and work on Saturdays. And that Saturday I didn't have to work. And I remember I had this feeling in my body of this dread. And now by this point, I'd been married for about 2 years, and I came downstairs and I sat on the couch and I looked up, like we have these skylights, you know, and I remember I just leaned back and looked up and I said to my mom, like, is this it? Like, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? And I remember so clearly, I heard a voice almost like it was in my ear. And she said, well, if you could do anything, anything, what would you do today? And when I heard that, it was the first time in like a couple of years, I think, where I felt like the motivation, like energy. And I grabbed my iPad. I had a little keyboard and I typed and typed. I mean, I typed for 2 hours probably. And I mapped out what every little thing would look like if my day was exactly the way I wanted, like what it would look like when I got up in the morning, you know, who was in my, I mean, George Clooney seemed really far-fetched. And so I decided I would stay married to the husband I had. But, you know, I knew everything. I knew like what my house would look like, what kind of food I had in my house, like how we ate. I knew like what my friends were like, what I did every single day and who I worked with, like who I surrounded myself with. And I realized that it was a lot different than the life that I was living.
Yeah. So what you're talking about, and I love it, by the way, is what you did is you created a vision board, right?
Yeah. A clear vision. Yeah.
A clear vision. Yeah. I mean, I've got this refrigerator that's on the other side of this screen that that we're sharing right now, and it's got a vision board of all my climbs and where I want to go. And you know, one thing that you did is that you specified, just not like I want to be rich or something, but you specified, you know, with detail. Like you said, you know, when you wake up, who you're hanging out with, kind of house you want to be in, the kind of food you want to, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that all matters. And the other thing that struck me too, when you were saying the story, it's in you're in the living room and it's dark and you're staring up at the skylights, is that whole scene from Field of Dreams, Kevin Costner, right? I don't know if you saw that, but you know, there was this voice that he heard that nobody else could hear. And it's just like, are you insane? You know, like people would say that, but he kept hearing this thing like, you know, if you build, they'll come. And he was like, what am I supposed to build? What am I supposed to? And so he ultimately just got out and started hacking through his cornfield and creates this baseball field. And then, you know, this whole amazing baseball movie. And it was just really about Field of Dreams, you know, people who didn't believe, you know, you got to be, you put up your vision board and then you have to have conviction to go after what those things are. And that sometimes a lot of people have an idea, but they don't fall through to the other side, right? Because they don't take that leap of faith like they did in Field of Dreams.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that for me too, I knew my decisions were going to affect other people. And I felt like I had already taken a leap. I had already quit my 20-year, you know, built sales career to do this thing that I wanted to do that was, you know, my passion. And then I had to say, oh, like, just kidding. That isn't really what I wanted to do. You know, so there was this, I knew my husband was going to be like, what is happening? I knew the people that went to the gym were going to be disappointed. And I had to be clear so that I could keep going no matter what I heard.
So what did you do with the CrossFit gym?
So that was like September, and I ended up selling it in, I guess it was the beginning of February. So it took me a while to kind of get a plan. And then I just decided that this was going to be my cutoff. And if I couldn't sell it, I was going to close it. And right before I was going to close it, somebody came in and bought it.
So now what? Now you close it and now you got to go execute this vision board.
Now
right?
I've got to make this happen. And, you know, the cool thing was at the time I owned a CrossFit gym and I was working as a coach and I also was a nutrition coach. And so I kept the nutrition piece and just started with that. But when you're working with people on nutrition, you know, it's rarely about the food, right? It's rarely about the food. It starts to move into what they feel about the food or what they feel about their life. And so it became a really great segue into moving into really helping people see that they can become the superheroes of their own life. I mean, that's what I feel like, that my story could have gone a totally different way and nobody would have blamed me.
It kind of ties in what you graduated from college from, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Psychology. So you're bringing that element into the table.
Yeah.
And so everything you just said, I'm a health and fitness nut, of course. Yeah. And so it's a behavioral thing about the way they choose to eat and run their life, not necessarily a nutrition thing.
Right.
So I agree with you. Okay.
Yeah.
So now that you're understanding that, so how does the story move from there?
Yeah. So really it just came down to me wanting to learn more. I always have loved learning, right? And growth. And so I just decided I'm going to learn everything that I can. I'm going to, you know, make some money working with these clients and learn what I can doing this. And I wrote a book. It was actually my second book. I had written a nutrition book when I was a competitive athlete, you know, with the Snatch and the Clean and Jerk. And I've competed in the Pan American Games, won a bronze medal. And as a 44-year-old, you know, so like I had this sort of this, you know, gang that was women like me, and I just kind of carried them through. So they came to me for health and nutrition stuff, but there's more we can learn together. And so I would learn stuff. I've got my NLP, my neuro-linguistic programming certification. And as I would learn, I would share it and teach it to them. And then I would learn more and I would share it. And that just ended up, you know, building a community of people that want to be better. They want to grow.
So are you a coach then?
Yeah. So I work as a coach. I'm also an author. I've written several books. And one of the things I really love to do is speak, because I feel like I can impact a whole room, you know, in a way that I can't necessarily do, you know, impact that many people all at one time.
That's great.
And I have a podcast, you know, so.
What's the name of your podcast?
The Art of Living Big.
Love that.
Yeah.
Love that. And it is an art, right? And it goes back to that vision board you're talking about. So the opposite of that, of course, is living small. And maybe that's what you felt back when you were in that room and talking to your mother.
Yeah. And what I realized was that to make these big leaps, right? So I had this vision, right, of what I really wanted, but I couldn't just close the gym the next day and all of a sudden be like, I'm a coach. Like I had to go through these small steps. And so I wrote this book called Start Small, Live Big. And it's really about that process, how all big things we see, you know, we see the NFL players, right? And we think like, gosh, that's so great. They're so great. They're so talented. But they started out as little kids working their fannies off, right? They had failures. They had all the things you're trying to highlight on the show. And we forget that. We see people of greatness and think, I can't do that because they're so great. But they didn't start out great, right? They started out making mistakes and failing and getting back up. And, you know, I think it was Muhammad Ali that's like, if you can look up and see the sky, you can get up. So just continuing to fail, understand that's contrast, and I'm getting clearer on what it is I really want, and moving forward, taking another small step and another and another.
Yeah. Look, you can't have negative voices in your ear, right, as you're trying to take those steps towards your ultimate goal. And I mean, I'm literally a living example of a couple things, right, of the things that you just talked about. And that is really seeing yourself, you know, on what you want to do and not letting others dictate what your greatness can be.
Yeah.
When you start talking about the NFL, and, you know, that's the top 1% of the 1% of the one, you know, it's just very difficult to be there.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of obstacles. I had friends come up to me right in my face and say, you'll never make it. I mean, you know, so you're asking what kind of friend is that, right?
Right.
And it's just, you just can't have others put limits on what the human potential can be. And it's so key to keep your eye on the ball. I know it's a football terminology, but it's served me so well over time. It's just like, you know, negative forces on the outside trying to tear you apart, knock you down. And by just keeping your eye on the ball one step ahead at a time and taking the proper steps, just like going up the mountain, will get you to your end goal. Now, your end goal may look different to everybody, but, you know, you want to go on that journey and not have others go, I can't do it, or you shouldn't do it, or you suck at it. You know, it's just, who cares? It doesn't matter what you think. You don't know what's inside of me.
Yeah. And I think that keeping to your, like, there's greatness that I have not reached yet. There are some goals that you probably wouldn't laugh at me, but other people would. And so I don't tell them, because I think people like your friend do it because they want to protect you. They don't want you to get hurt. They don't want you to get disappointed. Like, just don't do that. And it also means you're moving outside of the circle where they are. And that makes them look at themselves and say, am I working? Am I doing things and living my life to my full potential? And so, you know, there's all of that. So many times you know, there's a little circle of people that really know my big dreams, and my greatness is yet to be shown. And when that happens,
what are they? I won't tell you.
Someday I will be helping millions.
So that's going to be on another podcast.
Yes,
right?
I'll come back.
Okay. This is going to be where they were and where they're at today.
Yeah.
Which is great. Okay. So where can people find you in your greatness and your, all your happiness?
Yeah. You can find me everywhere on social media at Betsy Paik, and my website is BetsyPaik.com. So it's just like cake, but with a P.
P-A-K-E.
Yes.
Paik. Love it. All right. Well, listen, Mrs. Happiness, thank you so much for coming on the pod, and you've been a joy. And I just, you know, I love to talk to people who, right when I hit the button and when we start talking, you've just got such a kind and uplifting spirit about yourself just to start. And it just kind of sets the tone of what's to come, you know, and you certainly fit that bill. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Take care. Bye. Hey, and thank you so much for listening to the Find Your Summit podcast. We are so glad to have you along for this journey. And if you enjoy the show, please tell a friend, share it on iTunes, spread it to the planet. We're looking to broadcast this to every person that is out there because, as you know, everybody has their own summit that they're going after. If you're looking to follow my journey, you can find that through my social links on markpattisonnfl.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-K, Pattison, P-A-T-T-I-S-O-N, NFL.com. So, until the next podcast, just remember, clear eyes, full hearts, and remember, it takes a little more to make a champion, so make it happen. Thank you. Bye.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.